We are recording.
Hey, good evening. It is January.
Recording in progress.
About 5 minutes past 6 in the evening, I call this monthly meeting of the National Airport Authority Board of Directors to order. And let's see, roll call, please.
Chairman Woods?
Here.
Secretary Heath? I'm sorry, Treasurer Heath? Secretary Holland?
Present.
And Joe is unable to join us this evening, and Brian, I'm not sure what his status is.
Out of town.
Out of town, okay.
Okay. So, first up, public input as it pertains to tonight's agenda. Okay, going once, going twice, okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay, minutes approval of the NAA public minutes of December 15, 2021. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, yes. I am taking over. Well, first up, officer elections. Well, this is the time of year when we choose chairman, vice chairman, secretary, treasurer. But since not a vote, I don't know if we can do that, because, we really need to have, we've got four positions to fill, and there's only three of us here.
Yeah.
Okay. So, we'll table the officer elections to next month. So, approval of the NEA public minutes of December 15, 2021.
I'll make a motion to do that.
I'll second it.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, we didn't get Joe online, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so, all those in favor of approving the NAA public minutes of December 15, 2021, say aye.
Aye.
And then there are no nays, so that moves, that goes forward. Treasurer's report, presentation of the fiscal year 2021 audit report by Vashon, PK, and Company. Do we have, okay.
Are they coming?
They're supposed to be. Unfortunately, I can't log into my email to check. If you send me an email by name, I have to run to the office.
Well, we'll just...
I think we'll table that for now.
We'll slide it to later if we need to.
Okay.
But you do have... We all have these, right?
Yes.
And we approved them last time, so there's not a lot of magic.
So, approval of the December 2021 financial statements subject to audit. I'll make a motion to approve those statements.
I'll second that. This is the audit, the 2021 audit report you're talking about, right?
No, approval of the December 2021 financial statements.
Oh, we haven't gone over those yet.
No.
So I went through this. These are the 6 month mid-year things that we typically take a little bit closer look at. We are right now, if we compare to budgets, we're looking at about a $16,000 surplus actuals year to date versus an expected. Deficit of $19,000. So we're looking at roughly a $35,000 positive variance to budget. A lot of that has to do with lower expenses, and some of that's timing. Some of that is going to catch up. There's a couple of big things in there with the fuel farm. We haven't spent the money yet on that yet. We got some grounds maintenance that we're going to get done this year, according to the budget, and then famous marketing. But basically, the fuel farm, building grounds, and vehicle maintenance. Those are the three things that we haven't spent yet. So that's kind of what's driving the positive variance to budget. We did spend a little bit more on some salaries. Again, some of that's timing. some of that's an unbudgeted increase that we trued up. We gave out a little bit more than normal. So there's, you know, I think there was some, are the year end, was there December bonuses in there? Yeah, so that was, so the activism was a monthly, the month of December, mm-hmm. we spent about 4,000 more than normal, 5,000 more than normal. That salaries for the full-time people. So anyway, we're going to, those are the things that are driving the surplus so far this year. We'll see. We'll keep an eye on it and we'll figure out when we're going to actually spend that money. If we're not, we can reforecast for the rest of the year. We won't change the budget, but we'll just get a better handle on where we're going to be in June. The balance sheet looks good. We're spending money on some projects, so if you look at the balance sheet, you'll see a plus and a minus of unbilled receivables, and then some project payables, as well as we're still, how long do we hang out? I don't know that retainage. When are we going to get rid of the retainage?
Right, leave it when they
close up the account. Wasn't that the prior project that was still carrying?
Yes. That's the payment on
the right. So that's all the around. That's the taxiway, right?
Yes. Well,
the
north end
taxiway,
hangars and inner taxiway.
So that's, I guess there's still some repairs to do on the. How long do we hold on to that? But I know if they have some punch list stuff to go over.
They've completed the punch list, I believe, with the exception of one item.
Yeah.
Which is a ground lug for the fence. Nick, is that correct?
Sorry, I was muted there. Yeah, I believe that is correct. I have not checked in with the contractor. I honestly thought that was done already. If it has not been done, I'll follow up the authority tomorrow.
Yeah, they never came to me. I know they told me it was still outstanding last time Bruce was here, excuse me, with the crew doing some pavement repair in the backside of 107.
Okay.
Yes.
Understood. I'll make that an action item for tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a little over 200,000 sitting there that belongs to somebody.
Can you hear Dave, Nick?
Sorry, what was that?
Can you hear me?
Can you hear Dave?
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay, so Nick, there's a little over 200,000 sitting there.
That sounds correct, yes. We're waiting on NHDOT to approve the final change order before we can apply for a final reimbursement. So that's sort of the hold up on that end.
That's the retainage?
No, I believe the contractor still has their final payment plus the retainage that needs to be released.
Right. So when does the retainage get released?
That will be released with the final reimbursement, which is the next reimbursement. We just need the change order to be approved in order to finalize and close out the paperwork.
Okay. So that's been sitting up in Concord again?
I believe that's correct, yes.
Okay.
And Nick, this is Farrell. How long have we been waiting on that item?
I believe since November is when we submitted the change order. I have followed up with NHDOT on several occasions, including, I believe, last week on these items, and we have not received any reply from NHDOT, whether it's for Nash or for other airports in the state.
Okay. So that's really those are the issues, or not really issues, those are the kind of the highlights for the financials for the first 6 months. So, and Susan, we have not the audit adjustments in here yet?
for the 50 or 20
one. Yeah, okay, so they're all, so the depreciation, everything is all taken care of?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Fiscal year 21.
Okay, so the audit adjustments, okay. Okay, I can see that, because now it's how the pension liability changes. Okay, so that's all I got. Anybody have any questions or anything?
I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
So we received an anonymous gift that was intended to help the airport at one point. Did that get captured in the budget, and where is that?
No, it doesn't get captured in the budget. It's in the financials.
Okay.
It's sitting in, I believe, miscellaneous.
Okay. Oh, miscellaneous.
Revenue. And it's sitting in our bank account. Well, it depends on which one you want to look at, but any income statement will do it. So was that this year? Yeah, that's
in
2021. Yeah, so Jess, if you look at the income section of the balance, you know, the top part of the balance of the income statement, the revenue side, maybe profit and loss year to date. That's the budget, but it doesn't matter. You can still see it in there. But if you find a line item called miscellaneous income general, up on the revenue side, find that you're some revenue expenses. Yeah, there you go. About
miscellaneous income general.
Right. So that
40,600.
Say again.
40,600. That's the number.
That's the count number.
That's the
40,000. Yeah.
Okay.
Year to date is 2612.
Okay.
It's in that number.
Okay. Perfect. I wasn't sure when you captured that. I didn't know. And this is maybe a question for Farrell, but are we planning to maybe have a go back on that line item? We had plan to revisit it with more ideas. I don't think we've discussed it for the last few years.
Yeah, probably not.
Maybe for next agenda.
Yeah, we can do that for the next agenda.
Yeah, we'd ask all the board members to come up with ideas or how you'd like to see it spent. Jess came up with an idea, which was to have the banner towing guy from Hampton come out and fly a banner advertising the airport. So you guys want to think of some other ideas and put them all together.
And then I have a second question, which was just for my own understanding, how does the board decide when we are going to make an investment with the surplus that we have in the budget? You know, buying a CD or, you know, investing in other things that we might be able to have. At which point do we feel like confident enough that we don't need the liquidity of that money?
Well, we kind of do that on an ongoing basis. In other words, we don't separate, you know, this year's surplus. Hey, we're not going to buy a CD with it. We keep enough cash on hand, you know, that is in the checkbook, for normal operations. If you go into the balance sheet, you'll see a series of the operating account, for instance, is the biggest one, and you know, it is getting somewhat steep. But you know, we also have $700,000 of project payables that we're going to have to write a check for at some point. And some of that's in the project account, but we're going to have to remove money from the operating project account to take care of that. But basically, you know, and Susan, I don't know, maybe it's something to look at is, you know, we do have $451,000 sitting there,
mm-hmm.
And we've got and we have project payables. I guess you really can't worry about the project payables because they're going to be covered by the unbilled receivables at some point.
And yeah,
then, you know, when we bill and collect the receivables, then we pay the project. So we don't really need cash for that. So I guess, you know, we've got $451,000 compared to a year ago, we had about $330,000. I'm wondering if maybe it's time to buy another CD with that.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other things, Dave, that I know we've spoken about is we need a truck, at least
right.
one truck and
yeah.
a tractor.
Yeah.
Right now, trucks are unobtainium.
Yeah.
I've called, I've spoken with Banks, Chevrolet GMC, up in Concord, who's probably the highest volume dealer in the Northeast, and they can't get any trucks.
Right.
So we're waiting on some trucks to be available, so we definitely need to replace one of the trucks.
And that kind of goes, does some of that go with the maintenance too, or is that separate from the...
That'd be separate.
Okay, so, all right. Yeah,
so we do have some things that we need to spend some money on. It's just right
yeah.
now, because of COVID, as everybody says, you can't get these things.
I know. With the vehicles, though, I mean, the collective people out there, the pulses that it may be a while before
yeah.
the supply chain catch up. So,
we're helping what we have.
We need to get creative with trying to lease something, borrow one from another airport. I don't know.
We have what we have for now. We're keeping them running. Even leasing, it's not available.
Right.
Not there, yeah.
But, yeah.
Just don't have them.
Yeah, no, I realize it's probably expenditures that need to get captured, obviously, that are in our
right.
head.
Before we bury it into a CD.
Right. And
yeah. right.
maybe wait until interest rates go up before you buy a CD.
And exactly, that's the other half of it. Right now, the interest rates, Susan, where are they? They're extremely low.
Yeah.
To the point
yeah.
where you're almost making this much money having it in a savings account.
Right. Yeah. Moving.
So, but that's kind of where the surpluses are sitting, is in our cash.
Yeah.
You know, the cumulative surpluses over the last few years.
There's more curiosity on my part. I just wasn't sure how we typically did that and on the timeline and when we got to the point where we decided that the cash needs to be put into some other form.
Well, that's two different things. We got to find, you know, one of the things we talked about before too is, you know, what are the equipment needs and kind of the headless for the longer term plan of what we need here. You know, I know we're going to do something with the building. That's on the shorter list. It may not be as involved as we thought it might be because the leaks aren't as bad as we thought they were.
They're still leaking, though.
Right. So those are the infrastructure parts of what we do here is definitely that's the thing that we're going to use the surplus for. But those are the things we need to get. You know, just like the special revenue that we receive, the gift, if you will. You know, we need to put our heads together, put up a hit list as far as what we want to spend on, what is our wish list, and then just start chipping away at it. But you know, we can't get we're only in the tanks with the fuel farm tanks.
We're waiting for the painting contractor to come and give us a quote.
Right. So it's just...
Same thing with the building. I'd spoken with two painting contractors. One of them, they both said they come give estimates. None of them came. They said they're too busy.
Right. So, you know, we're trying to get... But, you know, the cash is there. Whenever people feel like working, you know, whenever they feel like, you know, the trucks are available or vehicles are available, you know, we can do something with it. But right now, the cab hasn't fallen off the pickup truck yet.
Well, it doesn't.
Just don't stop so quickly.
Duct tape.
Okay. Well, thank you for entertaining my questions.
No, sure. Those are all good questions. Those are all good questions. They kind of, you know, surface the stuff that you need to not lose sight of.
Right.
Okay. Anyone have any more questions for Dave regarding the December 2021 financial statement? Okay, so there's a motion to approve. The motion is seconded. We have discussion. All those in favor to approve the December 2021 financial statement subject to audit, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And there are no nays, so that motion carries. And I believe we have someone from Vashon and Kute. Beautiful.
You can always find him in a suit. You know.
Yeah. I'm going to suit today. So, So you're on the agenda presentation of fiscal year 2023 audit report. So please go ahead.
Okay. So,
I'm sorry. Do we have your name for the
report? I'm sorry. It's Matthew Murray from Matchroom Coupe, and I'm one of the audit managers.
Thank you.
So for fiscal year 2021, the Airport Authority was subject to a federal compliance audit. It basically means that it expended over $750,000 in federal awards. And so in addition to your normal financial statement audit, you guys received a federal compliance audit, and they're essentially called a single audit. As far as the important pieces of that, on your financial statements, you received an unmodified opinion. Basically means that we didn't find any human material instated, and in addition to that, all the required disclosures were with the notes of financial statements. Part of the audit process is when we're completed, we do a communication with those charged with governance. And kind of quick synopsis overview of it is, part of the audit process, we examine the authority's internal controls over financial reporting, and we're pleased to say that there are no deficiencies or weaknesses, and the records were in great shape. We report the significant audit adjustments that we proposed as part of the audit process. And in the current year, they were for recording capital asset additions. They were originally recorded as expenses. It's something kind of more or less on an annual basis, you guys monitor it as more like outflows. So what we do is every year we come in, Susan has a complete detail of everything that makes up, like the individual projects, everything that was paid by the authority during the year. We come in, we evaluate those as to whether or not they need to be recorded as a capital asset addition, propose the necessary adjustments to capitalize that, and then we record the related depreciation expense on anything that was capitalized during the year, plus everything that was a capital asset in the prior year. And then the only other adjustment that we had this year was there were expenses and revenues recorded for a grant which had yet to be approved at the federal level. The expenses were attributable to something that you eventually will have to pay, but from our understanding of it is that you're not liable to pay those because the work was done in advance of an actual grant award that was made to you. So this is basically the preliminary engineering, things that need to be done in order for the grant to proceed forward, but because there wasn't a grant award, we basically propose an adjustment to back those out until such time that there is a grant award, and then you are liable for those expenditures to, I believe, the engineer, the preliminary engineering fees. And then if there's anything that would warrant communication to you guys that we don't feel is either a significant deficiency or a material weakness, we do it in the form of a management letter. We just say that there were no such items in the current year. When you guys examine your financial statements, you'll notice that the first page there is the statement of net position.
Matt, can I interrupt just for a second? Can we go back to the reclassification that you did for capital assets?
Yes.
You're saying that there were items posted in the expense account that were actually capital? Because we've been going the other direction with that. We've been actually posting things, you know, major stuff, to capital assets. So
in fiscal year 2022 or?
21. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So do you remember the scope of that? I'm not, you know, what the totals were?
I don't have the actual numbers right in front of me.
Okay.
Whether or not it's for an ease purpose, so that, because essentially what would happen is if you guys cut checks and you view it internally as what did we flow out from our project account, service.
So you're talking about projects now?
Yes, yes.
Not operating.
No. Not operating expenditures. The things that are capital in nature, so all of your individual FAA projects.
Okay, so all right, that's where I was confused. There were two pieces to this. There was a capital, there was a capital assets piece, which I thought we were talking about operations. You know, we bought a new truck and got it in truck expense.
No,
you used to do that, but not anymore. So this, you're talking about a project cut, but everything that we spend money on gets reimbursed.
Yes.
So generally, that ends up, you know, it's a plus or minus. But what we've been doing is when we spend money, we put it in an unbilled revenue account, or we put it back up. There's when we spend money and incur a payable,
mm-hmm.
project payable, or project expense, we offset it with an unbilled revenue because we know we're getting reimbursed for that. So those numbers should always zero out. So it doesn't really matter if they're capital or not. They're all capital. A project is all capital. What am I missing?
So the difference in that is the way that you have the expenses right now is they are being expensed. So with a capital asset, say you buy $1 million piece of equipment.
Right.
The way that some of it is being tracked right now for the individual project, it goes down to the project expenses.
Yes.
You guys do record the, you know, where you're calling like the unbilled until you guys actually fill it out to the state.
Get the requisition, sure.
Yep. So that amount is essentially like the capital contribution. The capital asset that was originally expensed, we're taking it from expenses and putting it up as an asset, and then you depreciate it over the useful life, and that's where the expense is getting recognized.
Oh, all right.
So
yeah.
So
at the close of the project?
Yes.
Okay, again, not operating, not in process. Yes, okay, that part I understand. We build a new taxiway, it all accumulates, and at the end of the day, we put it into a capital asset.
Yep, essentially, like, yes. For example, on the taxiway, that may span 2 or 3 years.
Sure.
Every year we're taking and saying, what did you spend on that? Mm-hmm. Okay, it's construction in progress.
Right.
It's a non-depreciable capital asset at this point. And then when it's finally completed, we then move it from non-depreciable to a depreciable and then start recognizing depreciation.
Okay, that I understand. Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Okay. Sorry about that. If that confused anyone. So every year we talk about the authorities net position. In the current year, net position increased by about $688,000, including the items that I'll say that they're particularly meaningless to you guys. The pension and the OPEB, the GASB, 75 and 68. So what I did is I basically said, what was your net position without those? And taking those out, total net position was roughly $25,815,000, and that was an increase of about $712,000 from the prior year. Now, further, what's more important to you guys is the total net position includes your investment in your capital asset, net of depreciation, net of any outstanding borrowings. That's the portion that really isn't available to you to utilize for day-to-day operations. So the portion that's important to you guys is the unrestricted net position. So looking at that year over year, backing out the GASB 68, 75 implications, you guys actually had an unrestricted net position of $345,000, which was an increase of about roughly $371,000 from the prior year.
Now, how does that relate to operating surplus?
So that's essentially your cumulative total.
Cumulative.
Yeah, if your net position is in effect,
right.
If you pay out all your liabilities.
Roll that in tomorrow. If the world ended tomorrow.
Yes, if you paid out everything and you've gotten everything in,
right.
That's essentially what you would have in your cash account, that unrestricted net position.
Okay.
So it's good to see that it went up. So next exhibit is the statement of revenues, expenses, and changes in net position. And one of the things that was more important in the current year to actually look at is the operating revenues increased by about $151,000 from the prior year. Now, I will say that roughly $69,000 of that was attributable to the Coronavirus Aid Relief and Economic Security Act. It was a one-time funding that the state made available to basically every municipality.
Yep.
So backing that out, about $82,000 increased over the prior year.
That's the
surplus. Yep. So your statement of cash flow is one of the things that's important to me. The authority is essentially, what is your cash flows from operating activities? And in the current year, you guys actually have pretty significant, the increase. So you have an increase in cash flows from operating activities, and this is actually the second year in a row where you guys have had an increase in cash flows from operating activities.
Yep.
That's what's meaningful to you guys is how are you performing on your operational needs.
Are we doing an operational deficit or an operational surplus?
Yes.
That's where the money is.
As far as the federal compliance audit, we had no findings or internal control over financial reporting or on any compliance that we tested. Historically, it's always been the same program. I don't think we've ever had to test any other program. You're basically limited to the FAA program. One of the things you guys aren't necessarily going to like coming into play for fiscal year 22, the GASB 2 standards as far as leasing goes.
Yeah. We're not going to do that.
I think Susan's already done a decent amount of legwork to figure it out. It's just if she gives us the information, we'll go through, we'll audit, and we'll make sure that, like, kind of similar to what we've done in the past, is you'll have your regular items that you guys look at, and then, you know, I'll have Susan set up other accounts that the adjustments can get posted to that aren't going to affect anything you guys see on a day-to-day basis.
Okay, so my understanding of this is that this is simply trying to quantify the... You basically have to set up an asset. These leases that we've had, all the haggers pay here, the long-term leases are 20 years to 40 years as an extension. So you have to actually look at the revenue stream and set those up as an asset, correct?
Yes.
But then the other flip side of that initial setup is deferred revenue.
Deferred inflow of resources, yes. Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. We can't use the term deferred revenue anymore in financial statements.
Yeah, right. So, but the point is that at the outset, the debit and the credit are the same thing.
And you'll have a present value of future.
And then you'll depreciate, quote, or amortize the value of the leases.
Yep.
And then you'll recognize the deferred inflows.
Yes.
Over a similar time.
Yep. You'll recognize a portion of the deferred inflow over a period of time, and you'll have some level of what they call, like, interest on it.
Yeah, because you're going to take that asset and split it into two pieces. It's like the old FASB 69, I think it was, releases. So, but here's what I want to make sure we don't do. We're not going to screw up the operating books for that. Because we can, seriously, we have two sets of books. You can have the audited books, and we'll find some way to put that on our audited books. And similar to what we do with depreciation, you guys can come in and do your once-a-year entry.
Yep.
And because that concept, to me, is the stupidest thing that the FASB and the GASB has ever done. I think it's trying to find something to do. But anyway, it's because... with every business or this enterprise fund in a municipality, you want to be sure you keep an eye on your cash flow. And that accounting thing has nothing to do with cash flow. So I just assume not have to deal with it on an operating basis. But that's okay with you guys.
Yeah.
I know that there's this thing that you have to have your books in compliance with GAAP.
Yep.
And we won't. So they cut at the end of the year.
I would say through proposed audit adjustments, yeah, based off of, you know.
So as long as that doesn't affect our management letter,
yep,
and our compliance audit, you know, the times we have to have that, we're probably going to need them again because we have a couple of big grants hopefully coming our way. So, okay, I get it.
So, like I said, it'll be no different than the way that pension, OPEB, and capital assets are essentially done right now. And
yeah,
we'll get the required information for it, and then off of that, propose adjusting journal entries to get it to where it needs to be, and I'll have Susan set up accounts specifically,
yeah,
detailed out for you guys so that you can see and look at it and say, okay, well, these don't mean anything to us.
So, what is the effective date of that thing?
It's effective for fiscal year 22.
So the whole year?
Yeah.
40 until 23, right?
No. So fiscal year 22 is when it needs to be implemented. So there'll be a restatement of last year's financial statement.
So you have to restate 21?
Yes. We're going
to
have
to. Well, that's right, because you have to set up a big balance sheet. So the thing is effective for the entire year of fiscal 22.
Yep.
Okay.
22 going forward.
And then, but that's going to involve restating this balance sheet.
Yep, I believe I stuck it in there in the notes to the financial statement.
Yep.
It should be the very last note that basically says that
the new accounting policy.
87 is going to become effective, and management basically estimates that it's going to have a significant impact on the financial statements.
But it's going to be a gross up, plus or minus. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So that will have to be updated in 2 years.
Every year.
I'm saying.
No. Well, it's going to be, no, because I can do it.
But once you do the opening, the restate of the balance sheet, that's done, and then
right,
then it just simply is a 1 year, just like the depreciation.
Because the amounts change every 2 years.
All the lease changes, CPIU.
The income.
CPIW.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
So that
would
have to be adjusted every 2 years, because you have to have your.
Yeah, okay, I know what you're
you
saying.
Know, okay.
There's going to be two pieces each year because, well, every 2 years, you follow what we're saying, Matt?
Yeah.
It's that these leases have a kicker clause, an escalator clause, that simply takes the base rent and moves it up to whatever, you know, based on whatever the CPI is for that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you build that into your initial restatement.
So what I would do is, how long are the individual leases? You guys?
20 years, minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum 20 years?
Well, there's a few that are less than that.
I have to do them all the way to the expiration date of each lease that I have.
So you're going to assume that every lease is at least 40 years. The first two 20, because the third 20 isn't necessarily a guarantee, because it's subject to
all kinds of. Only the ones that are coming up, not the renewal ones,
yes,
but the ones that already have an expiration date.
Yep.
That's the only money that I calculate, because it's hearsay after that.
Okay, so you don't even do the second 20.
No,
I'm only doing the initial 20,
right,
the one they're in now.
Yes.
Okay.
And then when that expires, if
yeah,
you knew it, then you have to go. There's
a
different worksheet
right
for every page, and then each amount gets adjusted every 2 years, and it gets adjusted.
Okay.
Each year for the CPI that you adjust it.
Okay, even if whatever you get together on it, I have no problem submitting a technical inquiry to GASB to make sure that it's done correctly and everybody's on the same page.
Right.
I typically send them 3 or 4 inquiries each year.
Yeah, because we don't want to have to restate the receipt.
Right, exactly. Well, it would be on us.
Right.
It's not necessarily on you guys.
If there's
a prior adjustment for anything, it basically means that there's some level of a mess up on us, unless it's a implementation of a new standard. Right. So prior period adjustments look awful for us.
Yeah. I did do a lot of research on the guest 87 on how, because we know about the CPIW, but basically what it's telling me when I was reading about it was that you can't, you can't change the amount that you're paying until
you know, it happens. You know what that rate is.
Exactly.
And we're right. doing a, the three or four of us in the office that are actually going to do the government audit quality control. They're doing a, like a 2 hour CPE specifically on links.
Yeah.
I think that's coming up in the next week or two.
So everybody understand that?
Okay. So you can blame me and Gabby as to your financial statements looking horrible going forward and potentially not being completely, like, not being meaningless, but looking at them and saying, I
don't know. Doesn't add value. But anyway, okay.
That's the internal argument for the firm, too.
Yeah. All right. So, thank you.
Okay.
Is there anything else? I didn't. I interrupted you just on your plan?
No, I asked Susan, she said basically kind of quick overview, keep it simple, and you guys, like, if there was any sort of internal control deficiency, anything like that, like, you guys would have known about it before now.
Sure, I'm good. Yeah.
Well, thank you.
I would be here.
Susan would have a nice Maserati or something.
Yeah, on the Caribbean cruise.
In my yacht. Yes, with $351,000.
I thought that painting around Greg's hanger was a little steep.
Okay.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good evening, everyone.
Okay, that brings us to communications. So first up, the Infinity Communication Group, potential development of FBO and self-serve fuel, over in what we formerly or informally called the graveyard. Did you
want
to say anything about that? Or
not really. I mean, it's really just a general inquiry about that space and you know, what the taxiways are going to look like eventually and setbacks and things like that.
Okay. Now, this is good. Thank you for supplying the letter because we can go back to our friends at COC and talk about the runway or the taxiway project.
Mm-hmm. What we call the graveyard, is that Indian Ranch?
No.
The
grass
right
on.
The old graveyard. Okay.
And Greg's letter was submitted to New Hampshire DOT on the 29th of December.
Okay, yeah, yes.
Yeah. I mean,
between Hangar 19 and the tower.
Yeah. Our vision is to develop that area. Put in a modern FBO with hangar space that can handle the newer airplanes that are out there today.
Sure.
And as you know, when we did the master plan, we talked about self-serve fuel in that area as well. So,
by self-serve, it's really operator occupied. Certain numbers, it's specific for those tenants.
No. I'm talking about self-serve admin.
Oh, for the whole airport?
Yeah.
Okay. So taking what you're doing now and just adding a different tier to it.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. Well, that'll be fun.
Well, there's a lot of demand, right?
That's what I'm wondering. Is there a demand for self-serve on the field now, you mean? Or just demand just in the market?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the actual development of that space, is it one of those things you build that they will come kind of thing?
You got one self-serve or the hangars?
The hangars.
The hangars is the main port right now.
Okay, so.
There's no question we need an airport. We've gotten inquiries for airplanes that we really can't handle right now. Mostly because of the size.
The size of the aircraft? Right. So the new 650s and all that stuff?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay, next letter, arriving on December 23, New Hampshire Department of Environmental Services, request for supplemental site investigation. So, this past summer, I think working with the U.S., equivalent department, they got some contract money and they were able to send a group of folks out here to the airport to look for PFAS chemicals. If anybody's aware of, like you know, Keys has had an issue with this. They were releasing foam on the airport.
The town of Merrimack.
Yeah, town of Merrimack. So, the group of folks that came out and, looked at our various different groundwater sources and various different test wells that are on the airport property, claimed to have found a variety of different PFAS chemicals, some of them in concentrations that are, higher than currently allowed. So, we had a con call with them, Chris and I, and, representative from, the city attorney, and, we talked about what the next steps are, because we now have a report from them, and they would like for us to, hire an approved contractor to see if this, one or more sources of chemicals can be identified. And we're talking to Dale Associates right now, about potential contractors to do that work. You want to add anything to this, Chris?
Sure. Nick and Matt from Dale Associates were able to provide me with a couple of contacts. I spoke with one of the gentlemen this afternoon, Frank Riccardi from Weston and Sampson, and they're currently under contract with Pease for their PFAS issues. In a brief conversation, we're going to reconvene Friday morning and going to share the report with him, and he'll tell us where we can go forward from here. They're essentially an environmental contractor that's certified or licensed, however you call it, by the state, put their stamp of approval on these reports. And like Carol said, we can identify what these compounds are. It is called a supplemental site investigation, so we don't really know what it's going to entail yet until we meet with the contractor from Weston and Sampson.
And we don't know what it's going to cost either.
Okay.
I already told them we don't have any money, so.
Right. So hopefully they won't listen to our. I've read through this. And it talks a bit about, the fire 12 years ago in the Infinity Hangar and the potential that it released, but nothing was found. So now they're saying, well, they're going to find some?
Well, if you look at
it, they spent a bunch of time at the airport. They did a whole bunch of stuff. Looking at everybody's supplies, water supplies, and they didn't find anything, correct?
No, that's not correct. Carol just stated that they did find PFAS compounds in various locations.
Okay, so what level?
In parts per million, there was nothing. Parts per trillion, there was nothing over 100, but these are above their acceptable levels.
Okay.
Which is basically like an eye drop in a swimming pool, an Olympic swimming pool. But anyhow, that's beside the point. They did talk about the fire back in the Infinity Hangar, but that was all proven to be cleaned up, never escaped the hangar, never made it in any storm systems, and the greatest concentrations of PFAS were not found at the Infinity location.
Right. That's what I'm reading. It's like, okay, so I didn't want to go looking further.
Well, they did find their concentrations higher than acceptable levels in a couple places, so yeah, it renders, in their opinion, by law, as she stated, we have to conduct a supplemental site investigation.
So we have to do that?
Yes.
Do we have to pay for it?
Yes.
Yes. And that's, we had Steve Bolton, city attorney, involved in this meeting and, trying to figure out what our options were, and it turns out the option is that we have to part of this environmental engineering firm, and they'll come in and do studies, and we'll find out exactly what they do and what they cost.
Can you get a grant for that?
I asked, and the answer was no. The state and the EPA got a grant to come in and start their investigation with their START team.
Is there any idea? I mean, is it $500,000? Is it $50,000?
I don't think we literally don't know.
We don't know. We asked that question. I asked that question, and it was an unknown.
Okay.
but I will get these details as we meet further with Mr. Riccardi from Weston Sampson.
Well, this is going to, this really is really, this really changes everything. I mean, this just takes whatever that $371,000 of free money.
Well, we don't know that.
And just kisses goodbye.
Okay, we just don't know yet.
Okay. And when will we know? When will we, when is this West, is it the Western you're saying coming in?
Friday morning,
yep.
I'm going to meet again with Frank Riccardi and Weston Sampson, and we're going to start discussing it. I don't know that he's going to give me a price at that point, but I'm going to share the report with him. He's going to look it over. They have a team of people that focuses on these PFAS contaminations, and we'll go from there. But like Carl said, we don't know at this point.
Looks like there's a date on here, it sounds like from the letter, that they want to schedule. Does that include just maybe a mention that you started this conversation, you requested that they do the, or at least provide you with an estimate of what it would cost?
Yeah.
Is that what they're looking for? They just need to know that you're making some progress on it?
Basically.
Okay. So it's not a statement there that we have to say we will
it's
start
not
the
all,
work.
It's not all solved right then, no. Okay. We have to meet with the contractor, and this contractor is already working for Peace Development, so they're familiar with what NHDES is requiring, and again, we'll go from there. We just had this meeting the other day with New Hampshire DES and the EPA. The EPA is backed out of it. It's all in the hands of NHDES.
So potentially, if the cost of something like this is prohibitive, would we have legal recourse, or would that be a political action that we'd have to take where we'd have to lobby the state to change their rule?
They talked about phasing the program because they said they understand there'll be budgets for this. But
yeah, we won't. Yeah, they did say they... You know, we could develop the program in phases so that we don't have to, you know, incur all the costs up front or all at once. And once we know more about, you know, what the costs are going to be, you know, we can go back to NHDES and have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. And the samples were found here on the airport within the perimeter of our airport specifically.
Yes.
So liability doesn't matter. We are liable because it's here. Is that the ruling on that?
Well, they approached us or addressed the letter to, you know, they addressed the letter to me, as you saw. It was the chairman of the airport authority. You know, because they understand that the National Airport Authority is the managing entity, you know, for the property.
Yeah, exactly. So in other words, let's say the incident in the fire at the Infinity Hangar didn't cause the PFAS contamination and somebody else caused it, not airport related. I don't know how that would occur, but would that turn into some legal issue where there would be a...
We don't know yet. We discussed this stuff in the meeting the other day with Steve and with the EPA and the New Hampshire DES, and there's a lot of unknowns.
Mm-hmm.
And until we get this supplemental site investigation, you know, one of the things that Amy Doherty spoke about, she's the NHDES lady, was that, you know, moving forward, it's monitoring and permits. It's much like when we had, you know, fuel contamination here years ago, turning on a monitoring effort with permits issued by NHDES. She also told us that the findings here were not to the extent of the findings that they're finding on these other airports in the state. And again, we just don't know. I just received the letter Monday with the list of contractors, and Nick and Matt gave me some contacts in the last couple of days, and I received a call back from Mr. Riccardi today from Weston Sampson, and, you know, working on it.
So we'll remain optimistic. education.
Yeah, rather than just, you know, go down the drain thinking about it, we have to get the facts.
Yeah, I think so, it seems like there's...
And,
yeah,
you know,
those.
There's all kinds of variables in this. I read into it quite a bit since this whole thing started, and right down to when they were taking samples, these different EPAs and Department of Environmental Services, EPA realized that the containers, and we're not saying this happened here, but nationwide, containers that were made of UHMW, ultra-high molecular weight cross-linked polyethylene, were contaminated with PFAS. So the containers they were pulling samples in, and the more you read into it, dental floss has PFAS in it, candy wrappers have PFAS in it, pizza boxes have PFAS in it.
Yeah, that candy wrapper did.
Yeah, and so,
don't throw it on the air,
you know, the reality is PFAS is everywhere, but they've determined that there's this level of the concentration of the PFAS that's unacceptable. And again, we're talking parts per trillion, and we're just barely tipping the scale here, but where did it come from? That's what they want to know. Is it an ongoing process? We don't believe so. We all know that it's not here. We also know that the firefighting foam was dispensed one time, it was contained. I am 100% confident that's not the cause of any of this. Where it's coming from, who knows? It was initially detected in the Penachuck Brook, which is northwest of us, and they were trying to tell us that that's downstream from here. Well, it's not. All of our water flows the other direction. So who knows where it's coming from? Maybe it's coming from there. Maybe it's coming from industrial properties. We just don't know until this supplemental site investigation takes place. And they will, you know, he told me they do forensic analysis. And he goes, PFAS isn't just PFAS. He goes, we can tell you what the sources of these chemicals are.
And DNA.
Yep.
So, Chris, I just want to understand the timeline here. So this report that showed that there was, did they actually specifically say these are the sites where we found this stuff?
Yep.
Yes, there's maps in the report.
Yep.
And that is where? That report is where?
I don't have it on me right now.
Okay,
but
I mean, when did that come out?
Amy Doherty called me up. She goes, I'm sure you're already aware of this, and I think this is October or November. I'm like, aware of what? The results. I'm like, no. She goes, oh, they didn't share them with you? No, we've been calling and nobody shared anything with us. And so Amy Doherty finally gave us the report.
Who's Amy Doherty?
She's the NHDES lady.
Okay. So there was a report issued by NHDES.
The report was issued by Western Solutions. They were the environmental engineering firm.
On behalf of DES.
On behalf of DES and EPA, sure. Okay.
And that was done back in... The report. I know the work's been going on for a year or two.
I don't recall what the exact date of the report
was.
Was
it August? Was it October?
It was between June and October of some time.
Okay. And then from that report, that's what generated this letter?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which subsequently generated a meeting put on by NHDES and Western Solutions and EPA, which has led us to this point.
So Western Solutions was Western Solutions?
Western, W-E-S-T-O-N Solutions.
And then the company that you're meeting with Friday is
Western, W-S-T-O-N, right. Sampson.
Sampson, okay, so it's
two different companies.
And
Dave, I think there's four other firms with the Western name in it, believe it or not, on the list that I received on Monday.
Yeah. So,
and I figured they were all... I thought they were all in cahoots, but they're apparently
not. Why would we hire somebody that did the report?
No. And we haven't hired anybody yet.
No, I know, but... Considering.
I seem to recall in the last cycle of political ads that Senator Shaheen had quite a few ads out related to the PFAS and talking about cleaning up peas. So it sounds like even though the feds dropped it, this was a campaign issue maybe, I mean, maybe a real issue, but certainly was something that got political public attention.
It did. It all started with the St. Gavon company in Merrimack, which was blatantly, knowingly dumping the chemical into the groundwater, which none of the airports had been doing. Not that we know. We know it doesn't go on here. We know what's going on here for, you know, we have history here. We don't have any manufacturing processes on the airport where they did any of this testing. Some of the locations where they found sampling was wooded property until they redid the runway on the other side of the east side grass. Mm-hmm. There's no manufacturing going on by the airport over there. No dumping, nothing.
This might just be something that's just basically completely pervasive in the environment. So that if they tested their own backyard.
Well, that's what I said.
It's like, oh, we found radon here.
Exactly. Anywhere you look for it, they did find locations where it was not detected. It said ND on the report, not detected. So there are places where it's not, but again, you can't jump to any conclusions here. We have to go through the process, and we are going through the, I am going through the process.
Is there any lighting up on that?
Okay. Yeah, we need to file this post confession. Well, this is the first I've heard of it. This is a problem.
First you've heard of what, Ben?
The report coming out. I knew they were digging around here. I knew they were doing all the sample.
Okay.
This is the first I've heard. I don't know if I'm the only one as a director. It's the first I've heard that there's actually a report with issues on this airport.
I think we had it
in another meeting, Dave.
Maybe 2 meetings ago?
Yep.
So this was on
our... I must have been looking at the numbers. I don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
So moving on with communications, around the end of December, we're printing the aviation notice of intent for potential development of corporate hangars. Also, in the vicinity of Grass Bagown. And again, we asked for these letters of intent because we can go back to our friends at Bureau of Aeronautics, to reopen the discussion about relocating Taxiway Alpha based on this. Let's see, and last one, Recourse Grading Company, transfer lease 1456 or 101 perimeter. So if that comes under new business, we'll talk about that. So, moving on from there, tower report. For December 2021, 2997 operation year to year from 2020, that's down about 20%. And down about 20% month to month. So we have 2997 total operations that recorded in December. And this evening, our airport manager is here.
I did not prepare a report for this month because I thought we were meeting last week and I was out with COVID for over 2 weeks. I didn't have a lot to report on the last month anyway. It was pretty quiet. We've since had that meeting. We had the Zoom meeting with New Hampshire DES. I think we just spoke about that.
Yes, we did.
So I don't have any else to discuss.
Okay.
I'm
glad you're back.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed. And Jeffrey,
are
you still online?
I am here.
Okay. You have the floor.
Okay, so Gail Associates is administering two projects on behalf of the authority at this time. The first being the Haven Maintenance Phase 2 project, as I had mentioned before. We have still not received approval of change order number 2 from the NHDOT Bureau of Aeronautics. Until this is received, we're unable to close out the grant. In the background, Gail's December invoice included a credit for $6,238 that is due back to the airport and to the NHDOT Bureau of Aeronautics. With this credit, the authority should issue a check to the NHDOT Bureau of Aeronautics in the amount of $5,926.10, and the remainder of that is to be kept by the airport. And I would assume that you can issue that check upon the receipt of the final reimbursement for the project. So recommended actions this month are to please sign and forward the final reimbursement and close out the documents upon receipt. And I will coordinate with the authority as soon as we receive that approval and get those documents prepared. Any questions?
No
question
about that.
Yes. What was that?
No question.
Okay, no question. And the second project is the rehabilitation / relocation of Taxiway Alpha. There's no update here on this project since last meeting. The authority is still waiting for a determination on the relocation of Taxiway Alpha. Chris sent that letter out on the 29th of December, and we have not heard back to this point. Any questions on the relocation of Taxiway Alpha project?
I have a question, Nick. With the email conversation we had last night with Rick Diamond from, excuse me, New Hampshire DOT Bureau of Aeronautics,
yes.
He's asking us about the Taxiway Alpha rehabilitation, and we told him that we were waiting for a response from New Hampshire DOT for the relocation. Did anything further come with that email string that we had?
I did not receive any follow-up from Rick or Carol on that. I had reached out to Rick and Carol this afternoon as well as yesterday regarding a different matter, and I still have not received any reply from them on that as well.
Okay. And I know that Carol was on that thread too.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I know that Carol was on that thread last night when I sent that response. So
yeah.
She should be aware of this.
Yep, I will continue to try to reach them, and I will follow up as soon as I have any new information. And I apologize, there's actually three projects. The third is the rehabilitated golf and box shot ramp project. The National Airport Authority has received an independent fee estimate for jail services related to the project. The IFB was for $433,844, and that lined up well with Gail's fee. I believe I actually typed it in wrong. Gail's fee was $438,033. The contracts have been circulated and signed, and a record of negotiations has been forwarded to NHDOT for that amount. In the meantime, we are continuing to prepare bid documents for the project, and 95% design submittal will be completed as soon as we receive review comments from on the preliminary plan set that we sent to NHDOT.
Nick, what was the
at this point,
was
there a question?
Yeah, Nick, what was the corrected amount again? It was you got the report here, $424,150.
Yes, it was 438,033.
Okay.
And so again, within the standard 10% deviation that's allowed, so this is typically accessible to the NHDOT and FAA.
I have a follow-up question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, so just as a curiosity, it's just because I'm not familiar with this process, but the IFB, who provides that?
That is a third-party consulting engineering firm. In this case, I believe it would be Montgomery Consulting Group, and they are based out of Florida. They have done IFBs for multiple projects at the airport over the years, and Chris, what Gail does is we provide our scope of work and a zeroed out fee spreadsheet to Chris, and then Chris coordinates the independent fee estimate with Montgomery. And that happened as it usually does in this instance. And the IFP again came back within a range of, I think it was 398 to 480, I think was their range, and we fell right within there.
Great. Okay. Yeah, thanks for that. I'm just not super familiar with the capital project estimation, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. No problem. So are there any questions on the status of any of the projects, really?
No, it looks like we're out of questions.
All right. Well, thank you guys, and I'll be here if you do have any.
Thank you, Nick.
Okay, so we don't have any committees outstanding. We have no old business to go over. New business. Report trading company transfer of lease of E1456 or 101 perimeter. Mr. Belisle?
Mr. Belisle is unable to attend this evening, Chairman Woods. He was trying to attend, but he just couldn't make it tonight.
Okay. So we'll table that.
Do you have to table it? I don't think so. You can
just... Actually, no, I guess we don't have to table that.
I think with the draft of the transfer of lease, I'm using CR financial statements, yes. Would you want to see what's something like this? Is the building that Carapuzzi was in?
He bought the building, and they're just transferring the land lease from Carafugia to Recore Trading.
Was that in this, kind of package?
Yep.
The lease was not, no. Right. I mean, the transfer lease was, no. I just did it and put it together. I have one here that was recently done from Stein Realty to
And the transaction's already been completed. It was, the property was closed on the end of December.
And so what are we being asked to do right now?
They're asking us to transfer the lease from Perimeter 99101 LLC to Recore Trading Company LLC.
For the same terms and conditions, so they just assume the lease.
Yes, they assume the lease.
The lease is in good shape?
Yes.
And when does the lease expire? You know? Now, what's that one of your things?
John Realty sold it recently to Romero Vinay.
Wait a minute. Who's John Realty?
John Realty originally.
Oh, Stein.
2 years ago, it was sold to Stein Realty. Romeo today, which is permitted 99101.
Okay.
And I know that they noticed a lease extension and it now expires. It begins on September 1, 2019 and it terminates on July 31, 2018.
Was that the exercise of that second 20-year period? I guess it doesn't matter.
It doesn't say, right?
I would have a problem with,
Oh, it does say, Leslie is not your father under the lease and has the right to extend the term for an additional 20 years. When you extend the term for the lease, then she can extend the
lease. Yeah, like 10 years.
No,
I didn't. Sorry, that was my mistake. Is this something that needs to be
done tonight? I don't see why we couldn't vote on it tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Holding up a month seems unnecessary.
Yes.
Well, okay.
Okay. This is a pretty standard, it's just a transfer, there's no request for lease extension,
there's nothing.
Yeah, and he can vote on this without a representative from, from the
company.
Yes. Yes. It's all is just a seemingly in good standing.
Well, that means that I will put forward a motion to approve the transfer of lease for 1456. As worded.
One second.
Okay. Any more discussion? Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. And then opposed? That's true. So, upcoming events, I don't think we have any upcoming events except maybe some snow.
We have some snow coming this weekend.
Public input to close out the meeting. Anything anybody would like to comment on? Or once, going twice? Okay. Director's comments. I'll start by saying, Chris, you and the gang have been doing a stand-up job of keeping snow away from the airport.
It's a magic wand.
Actually, I did hear a specific comment from West Blue. You know, it's like what snow has fallen. We'd be very pleased with how it was taken care of, you know, the work that you and the folks have done. So it looks like you'll have a bigger challenge this week.
That push broom worked out really well.
Yeah, at least this weekend it'll be snow and not freezing rain. That's difficult to deal with.
David?
Oh, a lot of the artists behind us. Chris isn't too. Can't wait to pass 78. I'm sorry. I think you said it. Okay.
Jeff?
Well, I want to say I commend Susan for all the hard work on not only keeping the books in shape, but also preparing and getting the information to the auditors and of course, to Dave as well for that.
Susan's done the certainly done the work on it for sure. I can't wait for her to start on that. I mean, on the lease. I know, Walter.
Got it.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, I think as the board, we definitely having something that has no significant findings and no issues and no errors just makes our job very easy. So thank you very much, Susan, for all your hard work throughout the year.
Definitely nice to see that report. Okay. Motion to adjourn?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of adjournment? Aye.
Aye.
David?
Oh, yes. Sorry.
I'm going to say, you know, it's like you're the swing vote, you know?
Oh, really?
You can keep it here all night.
Okay.